Subject this morning of our message is What is Church? Matthew chapter number 16, if you have your Bible. We'll let our boys and girls be dismissed at this time. Going to Junior Church. I appreciate Brother Garland and those who are taking care of Junior Church this morning. I encourage you to stay with your scripture memory. We've been doing that as a church. We learn a new verse each week. We've been doing that in our life groups, and I hope you'll continue to do that. In the bulletin each week, Tim prints the verse for the week, and then we also have the bookmarks in the back if you'd like to pick one up. A very simple verse that we were memorizing this week. It simply said, I and my Father are one. It's good. Completing the study there through John chapter 10, verse number 28, 29, and 30. But that was our verse for this week. Again, Ephesians 2:8 is the verse we'll be working on this next week, so I hope you will be working on that. The message this morning is the second in a series entitled A Summer of Meat. A summer, a lot of times, is when we think about kicking back, relaxing, just taking a little bit of time off, putting things on autopilot. And I'll be honest, everybody deserves a little R&R every now and then, okay? My family's going to take off for about a week later in the summer and all. But I hope you get to take some time off this summer. But if you're in town, I hope you will make the house of God a priority. And our pastors are working on messages that will give you something very worthwhile when you come on Sunday morning. And when you come, you'll say, wow, I'm glad I came. That's going to make a difference in my week. And so we've entitled it A Summer of Meat. Paul would say in Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. You've become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And the challenge is there, we should grow up and desire the deeper things, the meatier things of the Word of God. Peter would reemphasize that in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, where he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We ought to want to grow, mature, develop, to move from milk to meat. And so what we're trying to do is give you some meat. Now, last Sunday morning, Pastor Wayne, I think, preached one of the greatest messages he's ever preached in this place. It was on commitment. Oh, there he is. You're not where you're supposed to be in your seat. Okay. Pastor Wayne knocked it out of the ballpark last week. He did. What is commitment? And if you were not here, you need, as soon as Tim gets it posted on the webpage, you need to be listening to that. And it was neat. A few folks went home with their toes stepped on a little bit, including me. But we need that every now and then. Pastor Wayne, you did a great job. The message this morning is coming from another angle. It's what is church? Now, there's a plethora of ideas, a lot of ideas of what the church is and what the church is supposed to do. And a lot of people, if you were to ask them, a lot of folks would say, well, church is where you go and find friends, people who are like-minded. Well, that's part of what the church is. But we've got to be careful that the church doesn't just become a country club, a social club. Some folks will say, well, it's the church's job to show benevolence to everybody who has a need. After all, Jesus went around healing the sick and raising the dead, and He was feeding people who were hungry and meeting needs everywhere He went. But the church ought to do the same thing. Well, yeah, that's part of what the church does. But we must not forget the only way the church has the resources to meet the needs of others, and I'm talking to the members now, is when the members are faithful with their tithes and offerings. And then the members are also mindful that, hey, listen, if the church is going to be involved in an outreach, I need to be involved in it. Some people, you ask them, what is church? A third thought is, a lot of folks will say, well, church is an optional place to go when I don't have anything else to do. Yesterday in Crewe, we had a great discussion on if the church is going to be effective. We all need, but especially the men and the head of the households, we need to be committed to church and its mission. Another idea of what the church is to be or to do is we'd say, well, it's the church's job to teach my kids about the things of God. Well, that's part of it, but let's be candid. It's really just the church's job to reinforce what you as mom and dad are already teaching at home. See, it begins at home. Well, today we're going to look at what is church, a little deeper into this subject. Matthew chapter number 16. I'm going to ask you if you would you stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read just a few verses? Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to read and start reading in verse number 13. It says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art Jonah, John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I like the way the King James reads. He said, very definite article, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, if you've got a pen or a pencil and your Bible is phrased that way and you don't mind writing in your Bible, you ought to underline "the." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now let's hear a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we come to this morning in prayer, bringing this service before You, yielding it to You and the Holy Spirit. Father, my flesh, my voice is weak this morning. You're going to have to energize today if the message is to be preached. Father, this morning, I'll be honest, we've already had church in this place, and I feel a little awkward here trying to preach to these folks on this subject, but we need to be reminded of these things. So I pray this morning, Father, that You would help us learn and understand what is church. And Father, we'll grab something here today that's going to make a difference in our week. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I believe there's a lot of meat in these verses that we've read this morning. On the back of your outline, on the back of your bulletin, you have an outline. I hope you'll kind of follow along with it. Most of it is filled in for you. There'll be a few blanks towards the end that you'll want to write down there and fill in there. But I encourage you to take notes as well as just following on that outline there. There are notebooks available in the back. If you'd like to have one of those, you can see how you can get one of those. It's good for you to take notes, to write outlines, so you can go back and study what we have learned on Sunday morning. Jesus was asking, He's asking His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And on top of that, He asked His disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you understand me to be?" Do you understand, before we can rise to what we are called to be, we're going to have to nail down this understanding. Who is Jesus Christ to me? Is He just a fire escape? Is he a get-out-of-hell card? Is that all that He is? Who is Jesus Christ? Is He just a safety net that we run to when we have a problem? And, Lord, I need You to fix this issue for me. Who is Jesus Christ? Is He just a swear word we say when we hit our finger by accident? Is it just a word we use when something is not going our way? Who is Jesus Christ? Is He our personal Savior? Is He our closest friend? Have we taken it to the next level? And has He become the Lord of our life? Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter would answer in verse number 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Understand this morning that Jesus Christ is not just a Christ, okay? Christ is a word that comes in the Greek, that comes from the Greek word Christos, which literally means the anointed. It is the same equivalent to the Hebrew word Meshach that means a Messiah. Do you understand? There is only one Christ. There is only one Messiah today. There is only one Redeemer. There is only one Savior of mankind, and that is Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's not just one of many ways to get to God. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to the living God. Listen, there are not many gods. There was one God, one supreme God, one eternal God, one living God, and that is Jehovah. We call Him Yahweh, El Elyon,
Adonai, El Shaddai. Understand this morning that Buddha is not God, neither is He the way to God. Understand Muhammad is not God, and neither is He the way to God. Understand Confucius is not God, and He is not the way to God. Peter had it right when he addressed Jesus, and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now come on now. I'm preaching better than you amen in this morning. Come on now. There's only one God, one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus will turn to Peter. And He'll say to him, did you know, Peter, did you know God in heaven really revealed that to you? And then Jesus said, let me tell you something else. Verse 18, He said, I'll say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I could preach all day on that. When we look at Peter, we get Peter from the Greek word petros, which means stone or rock, or some say it translates pebble. Without getting sidetracked too much into the word study of just the name Peter, I believe Jesus looked at Peter and He said, now Peter, I want you to know you're a rock. Okay, you're a stone. You're a little pebble. Peter, you are Peter, but upon this rock, and I believe Jesus pointed to Himself, but upon this rock, the big stone, I'm going to build my church. Now you're a key part of it, but I'm going to build my stone upon what I'm doing and what I'm saying here, and I'm going to guarantee you the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Now, Wikipedia gives us a definition of the word church, and it's on your outline for you there. And we're going to look at the word church in two or three different ways, and they most of them line up, but just Wikipedia says it can refer to a Christian church, a body of Christians taken as a whole. Now, we would think of the saints of all the ages that have ever been saved. Everyone's been saved. One of these days are going to fall down before the throne and they're going to worship God in heaven. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's when all the church gathers before the throne of heaven. Wikipedia says church can also be a congregation, a local congregation of a Christian denomination. In Scripture and in the New Testament, we read of the church at Antioch, the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Colossae, the church at Corinth, the church at Acts, and on and on and on it goes. Local congregation. Wikipedia also says church can refer to the service, where we come together for a communal service. We all come together to worship. Who you folks started with the very first song this morning. And you were worshiping. And it just built and built and built from there. Wikipedia says church can also refer to the building. The place where we come together, a religion gathers in a building, an edifice somewhere. The New Testament is written in Greek. The Greek term for church is ekklesia, found 114 times in the New Testament. And much of man's ideas of what church is lines up with what Scripture is. But I think we do well to look at Scripture. And very quickly, it's on your outline. The New Testament, in context, the word is employed in four senses. Number one, it represents the body of Christ worldwide over which the Lord functions as the head in Matthew 16, Ephesians 1, 1 Timothy 3, as we've already talked about in the book of Revelation 4 and 5. It says in the New Testament, the expression church can refer to God's people in a given region, and it gives the example of Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31. We can talk about the church at Berea. We can talk about the church at Antioch. We can talk about all the different local churches. It says it can talk about people in that area, but it can also depict a particular local congregation of Christians. 1 Corinthians 1, Revelation chapter number 1, the seven churches in the book of Revelation. But it also could refer to a group of the Lord's people that are assembled for worship. And again, I love that. 1 Corinthians 14. And you ought to go home and study some of those things out. If I were to poll this church this morning and ask you, what is church? Why do we come to church? What is the church supposed to do? I'm sure we've come up with a lot of answers. One of the first things we think about church, we think about worship. And I love that. I love music. It's a key part of worship. When I think of church, and we try to come up with a definition here in our congregation, we would probably say it's fellowship. And as our men's crew was talking yesterday morning, we talked about the fellowship that we come together and we have with each other and how important that is for us. And no man is an island. And we need those that we can relate with and interact with. We need church. When we try to talk about church, we would talk about it's a place we come to learn and study. We come to church and it ought to challenge us, but then we ought to go home and we ought to dig out some of the things that the preacher talked about this morning. See, it's not my job to spoon feed you. You learn to feed yourself. But when we come, we should study and learn. We asked in our life group this morning, what is church? And somebody, I believe Miss Amy said, I come to recharge. I don't know about you, but I get awful drained during the week. Do you ever get on Monday morning, all the time, I'm all excited for Jesus, I'm going to work, and you walk through the door of work, and you see the boss, you see your coworker, you see a customer, you see somebody, and they just start sapping the life out of you. Somebody wrote in our life group this morning on the prayer request board and said, pray for me and my job, it's become very stressful. And I thought it's cute. I just went over there and put my name and said, pray for me and my job. It's become very stressful. The people around here. No. If you're not careful, on Monday morning, they can just drain you. We come to church to be recharged. We come to church to be encouraged. I don't know about you, but I need to be encouraged. I don't want to just have a religious pep rally, but I need something exciting, something to encourage me, something to pump me up. Because I don't know about you, but it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And it's kind of tough sometimes. Church ought to pump us up and encourage us. Well, I'm almost half through, okay? Now for the meat. Are you ready for this? It's on your outline and you write this down, fill in the blank. Worship is about Him, not me. Now that's me. Worship is about Him and not me. Some folks don't have that yet. If we're not careful, we think worship is all about us. May I be honest with you? Sometimes my ability to worship is so shallow that it is tied to the style of music that is being played. Ow! I'm going to be very candid with you. I love Southern gospel music. I think Bill Gaither will be leading worship in heaven. He'll also be selling discount videos and all over here on the side. I love Southern gospel. I love the old hymns. And if I'm not careful, my ability to worship could get tied to that. But I'll be honest with you, as much as I love worship, as much as I love Southern Gospel, as much as I love the old hymns, I'm going to tell you, some of these praise songs got some pretty good messages as well. And if we're not careful, we get to thinking, well, I just wasn't able to worship today. It wasn't my style of music. Honey, I love you, but worship ain't about you, okay? It's about Him. You need to plug into Him. And I understand. I've got to get my mind right and get my mood right and get my whatever in the right funk up here so that I can worship Him. But it's not about me. It's not about the people on the platform. It's not about the person in front of you. Oh, it broke my heart one time when one individual in our church said, could we turn the lights out when we worship? And I said, well, I understand that. Why do you want to do that? They said, because I just don't like the person that's sitting in front of me and I don't want to have to look at them. Wow. Why is everybody looking to who's sitting behind them? No, it wasn't anybody here. Lord, help us. It's not about me. Worship is not about me. It's about Him. Let me give you a couple of verses, okay? I love Psalms. Book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 150 is one of my favorite. Let me read it to you. It said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. What's the sanctuary? That's this building right here. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Oh, I just lost the Baptist right there, didn't I? I'm just reading Scripture. Don't get mad at me. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Jordan, beat that thing up there and praise Him with it. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I get the idea when we come into this place, we are to praise God. Amen? Uh-oh, be careful now. You're liable to climb a tree you don't want to get in. You're liable to get out on a limb. You're afraid you're going to get cut off behind you. I've got another verse. Psalms 134, verse number 2. You ready for this? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Uh-oh. Now, folks, let's be honest with you. That's King James, okay? That's King James. And sometimes it's a little outdated, okay? Let me update this for you, okay? In the Common English Bible, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. In the Message, it says, lift up your praising hands in the holy place and bless God. New American Standard said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. New Century Version, raise your hands in the temple and praise the Lord. NIV, lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. That's what it says. Now, do you believe the Bible? Yes or no? All right, do you believe the Bible applies to us today? Say amen if you do. Do you believe we ought to obey the Bible? Oh, you're getting weak on me now because you know where I'm going. When we come into this place, is it all right to lift our hands and to praise Him? I think He is worthy of our praise. Amen. I think we ought to be able to raise our hand to praise Him. I believe Jesus came. I believe He died on the cross for my sin. I believe they buried Him in the grave. But I believe He rose again. I believe He went on back to heaven. And I believe one day He's coming back to get me, to take me and live with Him. Now some of you are going to get excited in a minute. Luke chapter 19, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And the people were praising Him, and the Pharisees got a little indignant. Got a little offended. Would you tell your followers not to shout and praise you? That's you yesterday, wasn't it? Said that one little word. Started an argument so quick. Went to Pastor Cotter. Jesus looked back in Luke 19:40. He said, and He answered and said to them, I tell you, if these right here, these people should hold their praise, the stones would immediately cry out and praise me. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to let no rock get my joy, okay? I ain't going to let no rock steal my praise for Him. Now, I understand this morning, okay? Let's get honest. Some people are a little more dramatic. Some people are a little more demonstrative. Some people are a little more emotional than others. That's okay, all right? That's okay, because I'll be honest. If you really don't feel it and you're shouting it, you're a hypocrite. You need to shut up. I'm going to tell you this. If you feel it and you ain't shouting it, you're a hypocrite too. I had somebody tell me one time, "Preacher, I got so excited at church this morning, I almost raised my hand." It's okay. Oh, man. When we come to this place, Lord, to praise Him. I had one old man. I'll be careful what I say. I got too many people in Walnut Grove here. And one old man tell me, he said, "Preacher, I feel it. That's down in my heart. And I'm worshiping and praising in my heart." And I said, "That's great. I'm glad you do it. Would you let your face know that you're doing that, okay? You'd be all right." Listen to me. I like it when people get excited when we worship around here. I'm telling you, this morning, folks, I about felt a runaway over here. If I'd have been holding one of my grandbabies, I'd have thrown her 3 rows. I know I would have. Man, I was excited. I like to shout when we're singing and worshiping. I like when people shout when I'm preaching, okay? It lets me know you're getting it, and I can move on to the next point. We get out of here quicker if you shout more. Do I know how to work a crowd? Listen, when we get excited, don't forget this. It's about Him. It's not about me. It's about Him. Second thought, church is not where we go. It's more of who we are. You write that down. Church is not where we go. It's more of who we are. See, we don't need to just come to church. We need to learn to be the church. We ought to take what we have in here to those out there. Some people come to church and said, "Well, preacher, that's a great service today. I'm sorry it had to come to an end." Listen to me. It should not end when we leave this place. It's just the beginning. We ought to still be just as excited when we go out there. We ought to still be just as rejoicing. We ought to still be praising God. We ought to still be walking with Him. We ought to still be praising Him. It doesn't stay in here. Continue to think about Him. Fellowship with Him. Walk in His presence. If you'll do that, it's going to impact you. It's going to impact your walk. It's going to impact your attitude. It'll impact your outlook. It'll impact every minute of your day. But listen to this. Not only will it impact you, it will impact all those around you. Because excitement, encouragement is contagious. And you just start praising the Lord. I'm just catching. We're having trouble with the air conditioners. They came out and worked on it a couple times this week because of different issues. They had to leave, come back, leave, come back. We were here at midnight last night, still working on air conditioners. You know what happened? And I'm just being honest with you. Larry Calloway, Advantage Heating and Air, those folks have done a great job for us. I hadn't got the bill yet. When I get the bill, I may change my mind, okay? I've known Larry and his boys, Noel and Sam, for some time now. Midnight last night. You know what happened out back here? Noel. Jeffrey, how's Noel? 18 years old? Jeff and his dad working on air conditioning. He said, "Pastor Dave, come here. Let me put my arm on you." And he said, "To God, I pray you bless Pastor Dave in the morning. He can preach with power. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to have it cool in there and he's not going to sweat and stink." He said, "The Lord, I pray you'll convict whoever's coming out here stealing these air conditioners and cutting the parts off of them, and God, bring them under conviction." But God, not conviction, just for stealing air conditioners. Bring them under conviction of their sin, and God, would they turn to you as their Lord and Savior. That's an air conditioner man. I like him. That's being the church out there. I got so much I want. We need to take the gospel to those that are outside these walls. See, people may not come in here to get it. We need to take it out to them. I met Eric a minute ago. He said he was jogging down the road. Saw the church. He thought, "I'm going to go back and go to church there Sunday." That don't happen too often. I believe the Spirit led him here today. Glad to have him. But now listen to me. Christians, we are called to be fishers of men. Amen? And fishing for men is kind of like fishing for fish. Do you get that? What if I said to you, I want you to come over. I am a world-renowned fisherman. I want you to come over to me at my house this afternoon. I'm going to show you what kind of fisherman I am. You come over to my house, and I say, look at this. Is that gold rod and reel, man? I got me a fancy thing here. I want you to look at this test line on it. Hey, let me show you all these lures I got here. I am a fisherman. Watch this. Sit down there on the sofa. And I did this. Ain't that good? You see the way I cast that? I am a fisherman. Let me show you. I can do it this way. I can pop the thing and reel it. Look, I'm a fisherman. What would you say? You ain't no fisherman. You just talking about it. What is the difference between that and the Christian who's got the study Bible, that's got the concordance, that's got all the notes, has read all the soul-winning books, has read all the self-help books, and you read done every character study there is in the Word of God, and you say, I know all about it, and man, I am a fisher of men, but you never once shared your story. We need to take the gospel out there to them. I have a new shirt this morning. I don't know whether my old shirts are just worn out, but everybody noticed I had a new shirt today. I bet I had a dozen people say, boy, that's a sharp-looking shirt, Pastor. It's got the church's new logo on it. I love it. I had a very similar shirt on yesterday, 3 times yesterday. Because of my shirt and the logo, I had an opportunity to share the gospel. I shared with the men the other day, yesterday. I went over to Taco Bell on Friday, I think it was. I had on a MSU Bears shirt, you know. And the little girl at who rung up my order, she said, oh, you must be a professor at MSU. Because I had an MSU shirt on. I said, I'm a professor. And she said, oh, really? Where you at? I said, well, here. The whole world's school, and everybody's either a teacher or they're a student. And I said, I'm a professor. I said, what are you? And she said, well, I don't know. I guess I'm a student. She said, where are you a professor at? Where do you teach? At some university? I said, no. I teach something better than that. She said, well, you teach. I said, I teach there's a way to heaven, a life that's better than what you're living now. I wish I could do that. The opportunities are there if you just look and listen. We need to take the message out there to them. There's a right way and a wrong way to witness. And I had hoped to show you some videos this morning, but they're just not the quality we wanted. But let me tell you, 2 weeks from yesterday, June 22nd, from 9 to 10:30 in the morning, we're going to do Way of the Master. Craig's only ordered 30 books, so that's all I got room for, okay? I wish everybody come join us on this. Learn how to and how not to share your faith. Church is not where we go, it's more of who we are. Third point, I got to move on. I'll hurry. Church is more about out there, not in here. Very similar. Number three, church is about out there, not in here. See, the job of the church is to go. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus would say in Matthew 28:19-20, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. We are to go. That's our job. Worship is about Him, not me. Worship is where we, church is not where we go. It's more about who we are. Church is not is about out there, not in here. The last one, and I'll be through. My purpose is about there, not here. My purpose is about there, not now. However you want to phrase it, my purpose is about heaven, not earth. See, my goal is not to amass a lot of money to enjoy life. Now, it's okay to have money. It's okay to enjoy life. Those things are good. But that shouldn't be our ultimate goal. My goal is to send a little on ahead. You don't hear much preaching on it anymore, but I want to send some stuff ahead so I'll have some jewels in my crowns that I can cast at Jesus' feet. I had wanted to spend some time preaching on the five crowns that there are, but let me just hit them very briefly. In the book of Revelation, the judgment seat of Christ, it talks about it. You're going to stand before Him and you're going to be judged about the things done in the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16 talks about you're going to receive rewards for the things done in the flesh, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I believe it's a reward or a loss of reward. And the rewards at the judgment seat are going to come in the form of a crown, and there are five crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament for the Christian's life and service. Number one is the imperishable crown. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, a crown that does not perish. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, it's given to those who have been faithful in the Christian life. Second crown mentioned in the New Testament, it is a soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19, Philippians 4, 1, a soul winner's crown. I see several folks writing, soul winner's crown, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Philippians 4:1. If you share the gospel and have a part of someone coming to Christ, you're going to receive a crown when you get to heaven. Listen to me, it is very simple. There's a crown for the number three, for those who look forward for the second coming of Christ. I'm excited that Jesus is coming back. That's in 2 Timothy 4:8. I'm excited He's going to come and get me and take me back to heaven. Now, some folks not excited because they're not living like they want to see Him today. Third crown was looking forward to the second coming, 2 Timothy 4:8. Fourth crown, oh my, 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 for those who are faithful in trial. I didn't give up. Everything came down crashing around my head, but I didn't give up. I didn't get in. James 1:12. Fifth crown, I believe, is a crown that's given for pastors and those who care for God's people willingly, diligently, sacrificially. They don't do it out of duty. They don't do it out of greedy for finances. They don't do it trying a desire just to control. But 1 Peter 5:4 says they do it to be an example for the flock. Crowns. So we get to heaven, we're going to have all these crowns. Well, you're going to get to wear it for a little while, okay? But what are you going to do with it after that? Some people are going to be embarrassed because they're not going to have any crowns. You're going to be in heaven and you're going to be flat broke. Revelations 4 and 5 says we're going to take our crowns and we're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. What are you going to have to give Him? Well, what I want you to know as we go, our time is up. I want you to know that worship is about Him, not me. Savannah, go ahead, come. Church is not where we go. It's more about who we are. Church is about out there, not in here. My purpose is about there, not now. I believe this will help you. I believe it will help everyone you meet this week if you grasp these four truths. This service should not end when we leave this place. And I'm afraid some of you, it does. Take Him with you. Keep your focus on Him all week. Be the church all week long. Take the message out there. It's okay to enjoy this world. This world is not our final home. Let's stand if you will.